Hello, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to be back connecting with you on this virtual platform. In the Lord good, just give him a hand clap of praise. He is so good and has done so many wonderful things for us. I just want to just welcome you all today and just thank the Lord for his immense blessings in our lives. Welcome our visitors. If this is your first time, we want to connect with you. Let us know who you are. You can go to ebcnc.com. We've got information there on just who you are, and maybe you're interested in salvation. I'm telling you, you cannot go wrong with Jesus. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, so you will be saved. Maybe you've decided to visit us in an in-person service. We encourage you to reach out to others. We've got cards there, and of course, you can still get connected online with us so that we can encourage you and you can encourage us. We praise the Lord for all the things that are happening at ebcnc.com. We've got our Monday night Bible studies, Tuesday Bible studies, Wednesday Bible studies, and we have just added another in-person Bible study that takes place on Thursdays at 6 p.m. So an in-person Bible study where we're studying 1 John on Thursdays at 6 p.m. The Lord's just doing wonderful, wonderful things. Thank you for your prayers for our 8:45 and our 10:45 in-person services and our 10 o'clock online, of course. Thank God that he's given us the ability to not just reach to Ebenezer family or Greensboro, North Carolina, but outside our states, that people can truly get the word of God. I want you to know today, our Feed the Hungry ministry is getting back on the streets. We'll be at Center Central Park in Greensboro, Elm Street, where we will be giving out things to those that are homeless, food, encouraging them. The Lord is just doing wonderful, wonderful things, and I just praise the Lord for that ministry. Mother Kathleen Ratcliffe, she is over it. So if you need to get more information, please, please, please contact her. Today at 12:30, we'll be meeting there. I believe they're going to be meeting at church between services 8:45 and 10:45 to prepare and go to the streets. To get some information, you can dial the church number 336-292-8449 or go to ebcnc.com to get more information on where we will be today at 12:30. We thank you for your giving. Your giving enables us to do things like this, to reach out and to bless others. God has taught us a long time ago to purpose in our heart. God loves a cheerful giver, that we don't have to give grudgingly or because pressure has been put on us, but we give because we have been blessed. And we thank you for doing that, whether you're in our in-person service giving or you're giving via our app or you're sending it into our secure mailbox. We thank you so much. But remember, we want to take it to another level. Giving also is remembering people, embracing them, texting them, calling them on the phone, let them know I'm thinking about you, I'm praying for you. That encouragement, as we talked earlier, is so, so important. Well, I am just looking forward to getting in today's lesson. As you see the background, we're going to be talking about someone that's very popular within the scriptures. His name is Nicodemus. Let's prepare our heart. See you soon.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. It's truly a blessed day for me and my dear beloved son calling me up here to read the scripture. But we will carry on. I am going to read for you this morning Proverbs 31, starting at the 10th verse. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. So he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. May God bless you.
Sister Wood, this for you. This song is for you. And those of you, we say Happy Mother's Day to you. But while you sitting there and while you're looking at me, just put your hands together. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Y'all bring your music up just a little bit. Y'all got to move me now. I'll go if I have to go by myself. If you know it, you can sing along. Sing, Pastor. I'll go if I have to go by myself. Oh, my mother, my father, sister, brother, I'll go on and on and on if I have to go by myself. I'm going to say it again. I'll go if I have to go by myself. It get hard sometimes. I'll go if I have to go by myself. Oh, my mother, my father, sister, my brothers, I'll go on and on and on if I have to go by myself. I like this verse. I'll pray if I have to pray by myself. I'll pray if I have to pray by myself. Oh, my mother, my father, sister, my brother, I'll pray on and on if I have to pray by myself. I got one more thing I want to say. My wife gonna contest to this. I'll sing if I have to sing by myself. Yeah, I'll sing if I have to sing by myself. Oh, my mother, my father, sister, brother, I'll sing on and on and on if I have to sing by myself. Sister Wood, this for you. Oh, send me, send your son, call on you early this morning. Send me, I'll go. If you want me to pray, oh, I will pray. If you want me to sing, I'll sing. If you want me to pray, I will pray. Let me hear you clap them hands. I realize it's Mother's Day. Send me, I go. Send me, I go. Oh, I'll go on and on and on if I have to go by myself. Yeah, yeah.
Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Lord, is my plea. Every day walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. That's our prayer. That's our desire, that we have a closer walk with the Lord. And I pray as we've been going through this series that you have been encouraged in your walk. As I think about my life, I want to be closer to Him. But today we're going to deal with some of those struggles that can occur when we're striving to get closer to the Lord. Before we go any further, I just want you to go in a word of prayer with me. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for your mercies and your kindness and for the body of Christ as a whole, Lord. Thank you for this virtual platform that We can touch so many, Lord, not just at Ebenezer, but abroad. And we thank you that your word is being lifted up. Now, Lord, I just welcome you. And I pray that maybe there's someone that's listening or looking in right now that's not saved, that today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that gift today. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I thank you that you teach and you guide and you lead us into all truth today, Lord. You be exalted in everything. Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. Again, Lord, we love you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get into today's section of scripture, I really want you to think about your walk. I want you to think about your struggles. What is hindering you from getting closer to the Lord? Today's focus scripture is John chapter 3 and the second verse. As we enter into the New Testament and really pick up this character today, one that's very popular, his name is Nicodemus. John chapter 3 and that second verse, it reads, "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" Listen to that again. "This man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" I want to speak from a title today, Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. In John's account, as he is being led of the Holy Spirit, this particular chapter, very early within the book, in the second chapter, Jesus has just cleaned out the temple and he has entered into his ministry. Theologians have recognized that there were two times they believe that Jesus actually cleaned out the temple. Remember when he is getting ready to be crucified, he actually does that, entering into Jerusalem. But this is the first time that he cleans out the temple. The leading factors are in shock because this Jesus is teaching like none other. He's also doing some miracles and signs. Remember, water had been turned to wine. And so he's making a stir within the community. Time frame is around 30-31 AD, early within Jesus' ministry. And we pick up at this third chapter and the first verse. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." Here's the first point. Really want you to get this one. Don't allow your job to keep you from Jesus. Don't allow your job to keep you from Jesus. I'll be honest, the other day as I was studying this and going through this, I just had never really seen it, at least in this light and this focus. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. That is his job. The Pharisees of that time were usually middle-class businessmen, and they had joined this sect of believers, we can say, called the Pharisees. And the primary drive for them were to do all the laws. They took the Word of God, at least the Torah, literally, and they really put forth in their lives to accomplish all the laws, those that God had said, but also the man-made ones that were added in. Now listen to this. It was 600 plus laws that the Pharisees really tried to walk in on a daily basis. 600 plus laws, all from washing your hands to how your clothes were, to where you sat down when you worked. 600 plus laws. This had to be draining on a daily basis to try to do this. But as a Pharisee, this was a part of your culture. This was a part of your belief. And this is Nicodemus. The concern at this point. Don't let your job keep you from Jesus. Because of this job, he's a religious man. There was a thought pattern within his mind and others that we've got this. We are more righteous than anyone around us. We're really fulfilling the word of God, but it became problematic because they were depending on their own righteousness. They were depending on being able to check off A, B, and C. And Jesus is teaching at this point that we all have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God. There ought to be some amens in the house. And so often when we try to do it our own way, we don't get to where God wants us to be. We struggle in our mindset and our thoughts. This is important to note. Matthew 6:33 speaks of this. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Come to Jesus. Nicodemus has to get past, and I thank God we're going to deal with that past, who he is and his job. And it's my concern, even in this day and time, that maybe schoolwork can be getting in front of Jesus. Maybe our hobbies can be getting in front of Jesus. Those things that we like to do can get in front of Jesus. Don't let your job hinder you from the presence of God. This is so important when you think about 1 Corinthians 10:12. It says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall." Especially as we have been blessed, God has done so many things for us. He's allowed us to have degrees, and he's allowed us to have nice jobs and nice houses. So many times we can get the haughty head. We can think that we are more than we really are. And this can be a hindrance to the walk of humility that comes in Christ Jesus. Lord laid on my heart a portion of scripture that comes from Deuteronomy, and I want to read this whole section, and I want you to think about your life. I want you to think about all the blessings that the Lord has done for you. And then I want you to think about how much have you given to Jesus? How much have you put forth in your life that you're going to seek the Lord with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength? Listen to this, Deuteronomy 8:10. "When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you." Deuteronomy 8:11, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest you, when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them," there ought to be some amens or some ouches out there, Deuteronomy 8:13, "and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Come to Jesus. We have to be careful that we don't allow who we are, our jobs, our associations, the things that we like, to keep us from the Lord. Though in context, this is talking to the children of Israel and their trek out of Egypt and what God had done. We can apply it to our lives. So many things we can forget how good God has been. Deuteronomy 8:15, "who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, and which where fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end." Deuteronomy 8:17, listen to this, "then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth." I know there's some quick typers out there. Just type wealth in that chat. And when you're sitting in your living room, just say wealth. It's God that gives us the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Deuteronomy 8:19. "Then it shall be if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish." Come to Jesus. 20, it says, "and the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God." We have to make sure that we don't allow anything to build walls between us and the Lord. We've got to get closer to him. Look at this, John 3:2. Nicodemus makes a step, a powerful step. It says, "this man came to Jesus by night." Somebody say night. and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Here's another point. Come out of darkness. Yes, come out of darkness. Now, this is so important as you look at this, John 3:2, that first part. This man came to Jesus by night. And I believe, and theologians hold the same thought pattern, he comes by night simply because he doesn't want really anybody else to know. He's dealing with his thought patterns. He's struggling with this Messiah, this Jesus, this King of Kings and Lord of Lords, these miracles, and trying to figure out, am I going to believe who he is? And I love this. Even though he comes by night, he's actually coming out of darkness to the light. I hope you got that. He's coming in the darkness of the night, but he's coming to the light. And therefore, anytime you get to Jesus, light is shown on you. But there's tension the way he approaches. Notice this. He says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. See, he acknowledges that Jesus is the teacher. He acknowledges that God is with him, but he has not come over to the point of actually calling Jesus God. He hasn't come to the point of realizing that this is the teacher above all teachers, that this is the one King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He hasn't come to that point, but now he's really grasping the fact that I got to get to Jesus. He has the answers to my questions. Later on, Jesus is going to make this statement in John 10:30. He says, I and my Father are one. I'm so glad Nicodemus took the time to not let his job hinder him from going to Jesus. Even though he comes at night, at least he comes to the light. Look at John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? John 3:5, Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I want you to come to Jesus with me. This is the point here. You must be born again. Isn't that good? You must be born again. Can you put that in the chat? Because I want everybody to see that. Somebody could type that. You must be born again. There has to be a transformation. This cannot be some hypocritical thing that we put on, a mask that we put on. This thing has to come from deep down on the inside, and only the Lord can do it. Notice John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This vernacular has become old and commonplace within the church. You know, you say, are you born again? And people are like, well, what does that mean? Just as Nicodemus, he couldn't grasp the thought pattern of that. But as believers, we realize when we got saved and delivered and set free, there was a new birth. There was a change that took place from the inside out. Look at John 3:4, that second part. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's struggling with this. Nicodemus is struggling. He says, be born again? How in the world can you do that? But we see that his hang-up is that he's stuck on the physical things. He's stuck on how a natural birth works, and he's probably seen it over and over within his life, and he says, how can I do that? I can't go back to my mother and be born again. But Jesus is just taking it to a spiritual level. Notice this. A theologian, Farstead, he actually gives us a wonderful account of what's happening and transforming within Nicodemus. He says, physical birth is not enough. There must also be a spiritual birth if one is to enter the kingdom of God. You gotta be born again. This spiritual birth is produced by the Holy Spirit of God when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus. Now Nicodemus has to process all of this. Jesus later will speak these words in John 7:37. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I want you to get this process here. Jesus is actually explaining the spiritual language in other parts of the scripture that he's using with Nicodemus. 7:39, but this is he who spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Come to Jesus. And so now he's laying out all of these spiritual thought patterns, but Nicodemus has a hard time grasping it. Could it be with our world and even the present day church that there are many that have not been born again, and so they cannot grasp the spiritual nature. They cannot grasp what God is doing and wanting to transform us. But I want you to know, if you don't know Jesus today, confess him, ask him to come into your heart, realize that you are a sinner, and when your heart is opened by the Savior, I'm telling you, oh, what a joy. Oh, well, are there some saints out there that can say, yes, there's joy when I was saved. There's deliverance that's come in me. And I want to let everybody know that there's a change that's come over my life. I'm talking about come to Jesus. Look at John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh. Could you type flesh and just scream out flesh? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. John 3:7, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Nicodemus is caught up at this point, and Jesus says, don't marvel at this. I got you. Just follow where I'm going. John 3:8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. 9th verse, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Here's the point. The spirit life. Yes, the spirit life. Now, I'm going to talk about this over and over again. When you are living a physical life and you have not yet been converted, it is hard to understand the spiritual life. And there's so many that are out there that we're trying to spread the good news. But until they get converted, until they are changed, until Christ comes into their life, it's hard to understand what we have. And Nicodemus is this prime example here. He's coming to Jesus. He wants a closer walk with the Lord. But there's a wall here that Jesus has to take down. Jesus revealed that in order to get closer, we must walk in the Spirit. Can you put in the chat out, y'all working today? Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit. And so often we can find people that are walking in the flesh. They do that very well. But please understand, if you live in the flesh, you're flesh. But as the children of the Most High God, we're supposed to walk and live in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 gives us some insight on this. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's why our society is breaking down. That's why we're seeing so many altercations and murders and people that are losing it, simply because it's not the walk of the Spirit. We're actually seeing the flesh. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, can you type Spirit again? If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And this is where Jesus is taking Nicodemus. He's saying, Nicodemus, I understand that you were trying to follow 600 plus laws, and you were trying to keep your life together, but it was about your righteousness. But now you're coming to me. I am the light of the world. Our walk with Christ is not just on a weekend, not just one day of the week, but our walk with Christ has to be Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, 365 days a year in that half. We've got to make sure that we're in the presence of the Lord. All that Nicodemus had ever known was rules and regulations, but now he's seeing a freedom. He's with the Master now. He's seeing that there's a higher step, a higher level. 2 Corinthians 3:17 talks about this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Can you just scream out liberty? Anybody know about God's presence in your life? And now you're walking in Jesus. There's freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Lord, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm talking about come to Jesus. Nicodemus is getting a taste of glory divine. He's understanding it's not in what I can do, but it's all in what Jesus is doing. W. MacDonald, a noted theologian, he brings out, he says, the new birth is invisible. You cannot see it taking place, but you can see the results of it in a person's life. When a man has been saved, a change comes over him. Can you just say change? When a man or a woman is saved, a change comes over him. The evil things which he formerly loved, he now hates. The things of God which he formerly despised, these things are now the very things which he loves. Just as no one can fully understand the wind, listen to this. So the new birth is a miraculous work of the Spirit of God, which man is not able to comprehend fully. Moreover, the new birth, like the wind, is unpredictable. It is not possible to state just when and where it will take place. I'm talking about come to Jesus. Aren't you glad about that? What is taking place in us, those who are saved believers, is by the hand of God, and he is doing a wonderful work. It has not yet appeared what we shall be, but we know when he appears, we shall be like him. Let me pull this together. In John 3:10, it says, Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? This is amazing. Nicodemus, Pharisee, doing all these laws, teaching others. He said, you're a teacher. You're supposed to know this stuff. John 3:11, most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? This is a final point. I want you to get this one. School knowledge versus spiritual knowledge. Yes, school knowledge versus spiritual knowledge. Now I want to lift up Nicodemus to be a Pharisee at this point. So many of the texts of the Torah had to be memorized. It took a lot to get to the point of trying to convince others that you were following these 600 plus rules. And even though you failed because there was no one righteous but him, you tried, and you could actually account yourself and say, I'm better than such and such because I'm doing 500 rules and they're only doing 200 rules. And so it was a puffing up within himself as Nicodemus and the Pharisees. But Nicodemus realized that is not just enough. My physical knowledge, my school knowledge and the memorization, it's not enough. I need a change on the inside. Anybody need a change on the inside? John 3:10, notice that second part. Jesus said, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Nicodemus should have known it. He should have known it. He took a literal understanding of the text, but yet the Messiah, the light of the world, is actually right before him, but he still doesn't know because he's hindered by his physical, his school knowledge. So many times we can become stunted in our growth in the Lord simply because we're caught up in ourselves. But I'm telling you, you need to come to Jesus and say, God, I am messed up. I need your presence. I need a change within my life. I have sinned and fallen short. God, would you save me, deliver me? I need spiritual knowledge. Hebrews 5:12 talks about this growth process. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Come to Jesus. What are you doing for the Lord? Those who say that they're saved and delivered, how are you connecting with your local church? How are you connecting with the body of Christ? What are you doing with the gifts and skills? Have you forgotten what the Lord has done for you? Have you forgotten how he's brought you out? Have you forgotten how he's healed you and delivered you and set you free? Have you forgotten that he is the one that's everything, that's coming back on a cloud where every eye can see him? And we're going to have to stand and give an account. Hebrews 5:13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'm talking about come to Jesus. God wants to take us up another level, and that's what he's doing to Nicodemus. Look at John 3:12 again. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Simply, we must understand at this point, Nicodemus is still caught up in this physical world, and so many are caught up in the physical world. We replace physical things. We place worldly things and in our lives where godly things should be. Even in COVID-19, God had blessed us and brought us through. Some of us, many of us have had COVID and struggles in our lives, but we're still here. But think about the time that you had set aside for God. Has that increased, or have you moved in other stuff? There ought to be some amens or some ouches out there. So many of us have taken the time that God has given us in our lives, and we place other junk in it that's inhibiting our growth in the Lord. But I want you to know, you need to come to Jesus. You need to decide, God, I want more of you. I'm taking back what the devil stole from me. In order to come to Jesus, we must truly be saved. We must understand who Jesus is. That he came from heaven to earth. He walked among men. He healed the sick and he raised the dead. John 1:1 actually gives us an understanding. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. John 1:4, in him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Man, I am so glad for the Jesus who showed miracles, signs and wonders, taught like none other. He was betrayed and crucified on the cross of Calvary. He took on our sins and our griefs, and on the cross he cried out, "It's finished." An earthquake took place. The veil of the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom, signifying now we could come to God boldly for help in a time of need. He dies on the cross of Calvary, gives up the ghost. But there's something I gotta let you know. Remember, we've been talking about Nicodemus. Something happened that night with Jesus. Something happened coming to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and coming to the point of realizing that he couldn't depend on his school knowledge. He couldn't depend on his physical stature. He could not depend on his job of a Pharisee. Look at John 19:38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. Are you walking with me? This 39th verse, and Nicodemus, somebody scream out Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came being a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. John 19:40, then they took the body of Jesus. Yes, Nicodemus is right there at the end and grabs up the Savior, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. 41st verse, now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. But I'm so glad to let you know, they laid him in that tomb, and they may have had fleeting thoughts that nothing was going to happen, but I'm glad to tell you today, he laid there one day, he laid there 2 days, but something happened on the third day. There ought to be some shouts of praise. He got up with all power and all glory, and now those who want him and desire him, I encourage you to come to Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the light of the world. He desires us to grow more in him. Come to Jesus. Saints of God, a price has been paid for our lives. He has done everything for us, and even now ascended to the right hand of the Father, interceding for the saints, has given us the Holy Spirit. My wife was talking to me the other day, and she just got a revelation, the advocate. Man, he's advocating on our behalf. Jesus is interceding and saying, Father, 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 I have paid the price. I know they're messing up, but the Holy Spirit is advocating for us, getting us to the places that we need to be, that we may grow more in the Lord, that we can see the goodness of Jesus in all that he's done and doing in our lives. Saints of God, will you desire a closer walk with the Lord? It's not going to be easy at times. There are going to be struggles because the world is bombarding us. The enemy is doing his job and doing his will. He's trying to get us off of the path of holiness. But I'm telling you, this is a word from the Lord. God is desiring us to have a closer walk with Him, and it's going to take more time. I want you to look at your schedules and look at your life. If you have substituted the world in the place of righteousness, the enemy's getting you. He's got you. He's tripping you up. But you got to fight. Take back, I said that earlier, what the devil has stolen from you. Your time with God is so important. Your scripture reading is so important. Your fellowship with the saints of God, fellowship with Jesus Christ is so important. Remember, He has done so much for us. He has blessed us so much. Lest we forget and think it was about our own might that got us to this point. If it had not been for God on our side, there ought to be some shouts of praise. Where would we be? If you don't know Jesus, I want you to look at your life. Some of you are in some terrible situations, but some of you don't know Jesus, and you've just been blessed still. The rain is still raining on your yard. It's still growing. It's green. You've been blessed with nice jobs, but you realize you're missing something, and the only reason you are what you are is by God's grace and mercy. Would you call on Him? Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead. And the scripture said, you will be saved. Would you accept that grace today? Don't let your job or your position or your status to keep you. Don't let school keep you from accepting Jesus Christ. Would you do that today? To the saints that are believers today that have been transformed, that God is working on us, I encourage you to make some covenants today, that some promises to God that really only God can help you to walk out. But God, I'm going to give more to you. We sing that song, I Surrender All. Could you come to the point of saying, God, I want to surrender more to you, more of you, Jesus, all to you, God. I give, I plead, I want to walk closer with you. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this word. I thank you for the life of Nicodemus, Lord. I thank you for showing us that initial encounter, but I thank you, God, for letting us see that he made it to the cross. Oh, Lord, I wish there was some more text to see his face when you got up and you came back and talked to the disciples, Lord. But I thank you for changing our stony hearts. Thank you for letting us know that it's not about our righteousness, but it's all about your righteousness, what you've done on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, God, for saving, delivering, and setting us free. Thank you for the opportunity to come to you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
I dreamed of that city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, holy. The angels are welcoming me there. They led me from mansion to mansion. Oh, the sights that I saw. But I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Then I fell on my knees and cried, holy. Oh, I cried, holy. Oh, holy, I fell at his feet and cried, glory, glory to the Son of God. I thought when I'd enter the city, oh, my loved ones knew me well. They show me all through heaven. The scenes are too numerous to tell. I saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Oh, Mark, Luke, and But I said, let me bow down and worship. Oh, the one who died for me. Then I fell on my knees and cried, holy. I cried, holy. Oh, holy. I clapped my when I saw my dear Savior there seated on his throne. Oh, the wonder